From the pulpit of the Capital City Baptist Church, we present Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of Pastor Adam Thompson and the Capital City Baptist Church. I'd invite you to stay with us because at the end of the broadcast, we'll give you our contact information. And now with a message from the Word of God, here's Pastor Adam Thompson.
2 Kings chapter 5, as we study the life of Elisha, tonight we're going to talk about his servant Gehazi. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, "Behold, my master spared Naaman this Syrian, and not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I'll run after him and take somewhat of him." So Gehazi followed after Naaman. When Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, "Is all well?" And he said, "All is well. My master sent me, saying, Behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments." And Naaman said, "Be content, take two talents." And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments, laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. When he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said to him, "Whence comest thou, Gehazi?" And he said, "Thy servant went no whither." He said to him, "Went not mine heart with thee? When the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee, is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever." And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. Gehazi, I think here's his question, his thought process, trying to get into his mind. He's probably thinking, what's in it for me? And I believe as a servant, he was a good man, good servant, hard worker. You read about the life of Elisha, and there was Gehazi by his side doing exactly what he was needed to do, more than he was told to do. Hey, he was a good servant, but not real spiritual, and we got to be careful falling into that trap. Being hard workers and good servants, just not real spiritual. And you see in the previous chapter, when that child falls ill and dies, and Elisha's called, Elisha sends Gehazi on ahead, and Gehazi goes and sees the child, puts a staff on the child, nothing happens. And I know it was Elijah and Elisha that were empowered by God to do special miracles, but there wasn't much power in that young man, in that servant. And he was a good man. As far as a helper was concerned, I believe we're all supposed to serve. But really the question is this, why are we serving? Are we doing it with the right motives? Is this done out of a heart of love for God and gratitude? This year we're talking about gratitude. And here's what we got to be careful of. There's a great danger, and serving but saying, what's in this for me? If that's part of your heart and if those are your motives, it's going to be revealed, because as a servant of Christ, as a child of the King, especially someone here at Capital City Baptist Church, although we have a lot of volunteer labor, there's still a lot of benefits. We get to see a lot of results and people saved and young people grow up serving God, and you get the fellowship, you get the ministries, and you get the social life. And there are benefits besides the financial. I don't believe anyone here is in it for the financial. And here's what you're going to see or hear when people speak of the life of Gehazi, that he did this for greed. But I always, as a pastor, look at the problem behind the problem. That's my natural tendency. I'm not trying to play the psychologist, but there's always a problem behind the problem. What comes up on the surface is rarely the problem. And I believe this runs deeper than greed. I believe as someone, now, Elisha didn't even have a full-time salary. He's just a prophet of God living out of the hand of God. Gehazi was there following the man of God, but there wasn't much in it for Gehazi. You tell me, sit down tonight, brainstorm, and tell me about all the benefits that Gehazi had as the servant of the man of God. They were all spiritual, but physical, financial. It was day-to-day, moment-to-moment. oh, he got to see the miracles. He got to travel with this great man of God. But at this moment, he's disregarding those spiritual blessings. And as we serve, we have to be cautious about a wrong attitude. And that attitude says, what is in this? And it, normally this doesn't happen after a day or a week or a month. We're talking about years in. Be careful, because the longer you go and the more you get drained, our motive ought to be love and reading the Bible and prayer. It ought to be enough, because we know the way to be spiritually re-energized is through prayer and Bible reading. But how many of you have been faithful in your prayer and Bible reading and you just weren't being re-energized? How many of you come to realize that there are certain aspects of serving God, certain aspects of marriage, certain aspects of life in general that are very draining? And I have young preachers talk to me, and they make me feel old, but 20, 25-year-olds had recently in the ministry, Pastor, I just feel like I'm ready to quit. I feel like I can't go on. And at some point in life, especially in your spiritual life, you've got to focus on things, spiritual things that help you re-energize. And this is the importance of winning souls, because winning souls is energizing. And if you're just working and not winning souls, you're just getting drained. And if you're working and you're not doing this for God, and if your motives are wrong, if you're working and you're not, you got to be careful, because here's Gehazi. He's doing all the right things, but he's looking and saying, What am I getting out of this deal? It's Elisha that gets the accolades. It's the man of God that gets the applause. When everybody talks about what's taking place right now in our nation, it's him that gets mentioned, and I'm forgotten. And if it weren't for me, he wouldn't have his clothes ironed. And if it weren't for me, he wouldn't have his food on the table. And if it weren't for me doing all the dirty work, what's in it for me? I don't have a penny in my pocket. I don't have a bed of my own. I don't have a house that I can call my own. I don't even have a family. Be careful, because the longer you serve God, the more you'll understand most of our rewards are eternal, not earthly. And I thank God for the earthly rewards. Praise the Lord for that. Amen, Brother Dole. Aren't you glad for an occasional earthly reward? I thank God for that. Praise God for, you know, the trips, and praise God for the friends, and praise God for the barbecue. Praise God for those things. But if I'm basing my motivation on earthly rewards, at some point I'm going to get bitter. What happens today? I go put my hand in my box and there's nothing there. What happens when the car breaks down and no finance to get it fixed? What happens when you look around at other people, something nicer? And here's what we do. If we're not careful, whether it's cleaning the building or working in the nursery or teaching a class, at some point we say, okay, what is in it for me? And when you get to this point, it's a bad place to find yourself. This was the end of Gehazi's ministry, and he had a great ministry going. There was only one Elisha and only one servant of Elisha, and he was that man. He was living the dream and didn't even know it. And if you're saved, have the promise of heaven. You have a good Baptist church, Christian friends. We're blessed. Now, Satan will get you. As soon as you get to a point where you're looking at the things you don't have, you already know you're in trouble. And that's what Satan will always get you to do. Take a look around at the things that you don't have in your church. Well, we don't have a softball ministry. Praise the Lord for that. I don't want to watch some of you play softball. Some of you don't want to watch me play softball. You know the silliness that we create in our minds? The model of our car, the location of our house, all those things at some point become a concern, and Satan starts to tell you, what are you getting out of this? People don't even notice what you're doing. People don't even notice what you're giving. People don't even notice what you're sacrificing. People don't even notice how hard you work to make that happen, how much you put up with. And there's a grave danger in serving God, and this, I believe, is the gravest danger of Capital City Baptist Church and its hardest workers. And I've seen this on a local level, and I've seen this on a national level. It's not cigarettes, and it's not drugs, and it's not women, and it's not vices, that are knocking people out of the ministry, and I'm not talking about as pastors or evangelists, I'm talking about any ministry, whether that's a Sunday school class or teaching in the Christian school, whatever ministry you're working in, one of the gravest dangers is this, the need for affirmation. And I truly believe this is what ended Gehazi's ministry, because he had no affirmation. Have you read about Elijah and Elisha? They weren't throwing around affirmation. Have you ever caught that in Scripture? I wonder how often he heard, Gehazi, great job this morning. That was an incredible breakfast. Gehazi, I know there's not a lot of wood around here. There's not, you know, I don't know how you came up with that and how you cooked that meal and how you made it all happen, but that was great coffee and I love the biscuits and gravy. Thank you for doing that. I don't know if you ever heard that. And sooner or later, when you're in the work of God, here's what happens. It doesn't matter. Listen, don't think that you're all alone just because you're in Sunday school class or because you're in the nursery and no one notices. It doesn't matter what position you're in. Satan always uses the same tools, especially those that work. And this one works. And affirmation comes in a lot of forms. It comes in the form of praise. And most Christians don't get much of that. I mean, you could pretty much sit down and write all the words of praise that you've heard in the past year on a single piece of paper and have spare space. Right? You remember. It's so rare. It's not you're going to have to sit down and say, boy, I need several hours here to make sure I get all of this written down. You, in a few moments, can repeat the praise that you have heard. And here's the problem. If you're waiting for affirmation, you're going to become very angry and quit and get out of God's will and become bitter. If you don't understand, that need can literally end your ministry. Now, we got to be quick to give affirmation, but slow to need it. Because here's the problem. If Satan knows you need affirmation, he'll make sure you don't get it so you can become bitter. And a statistic. It can come in the form of profit. How had Gehazi profited from his ministry? There were no numbers. You know what? Affirmation can come in so many forms. Listen, for me as a pastor, it can come in a position. It can come in power. And we say in power when you have authority and your realm of influence grows and you get more calls for meetings and the meetings get bigger and the tension is greater. That is in some degree affirmation. But what happens if you don't get any phone calls? What happens if you don't preach any meetings? What happens if you're sitting around and people are saying, well, you know, our church runs 1,000 and how are you doing? We run a lot of people in Austin. We run them right through. We run them in the front door, run them out the back door. And I don't know where they run to, but there are a lot of people running. I see them on bikes. I see them in shorts. I see them in black paint. You know, there's all kind of people running through Austin. They just don't seem to stick in our church. But hey, and here's what happens. You're sitting in that Sunday school class. You're sitting in the nursery, and the baby's crying, and all you're hearing is a complaint from a parent. Someone's frustrated because their child's diaper didn't get changed, or because their child got hurt, or because someone poked them in the eye or scraped them in the back of the neck, and you're the one to blame because you ought to be omnipresent as a teacher. Be careful. And you begin to mull that over in your mind. You mull it over on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. Man, I've been here for 16 years and no one's ever even given me a gift card. No one's ever even said thank you. I'm the one that's paying for their snack. Why don't you bring a snack for your child? Why does he come hungry? You don't feed the kid breakfast? He acts like he's never seen an animal cracker before. He's thumping the other kids and stealing the crackers. Feed the kid. Be careful. You lose your ministry over an animal cracker because you're getting frustrated because you're not getting the affirmation. I don't believe for a minute this was about 2 pieces of clothing and 2 talents of silver. This is someone, please respect me for what I'm doing. I need some affirmation here. Let me say I'm an affirmation. Don't raise your hand. I'm affirmation starved. Can someone please pat me on the back? Can someone please give me a note? Can someone please say the word, thank you? Can you make it personal, please? Listen, it's one thing. You look at other people with power. Be careful, because with more responsibility, there comes greater dangers, headaches, obligations, liabilities. I'm not happy with 15. I think I think the type of teacher I am, I ought to have 20. I don't think anyone should complain. I come in here prepared and spirit-filled. I am spirit-filled. Okay, we're gonna have to trust you on that one. Calm down for a minute. We believe you. Be careful. I don't think it was greed. I think it was profit. He was saying, all these years of faithfully serving this man of God, he gets all the attention, all the credit, all the power, and I get nothing. So where's my profit in this? Do you see why when he heard? Now listen, you do the calculations. I don't care what the price of gold or silver is at the moment. You do the calculations. What Naaman was offering Elisha for that miracle, man, dollar signs are going through Gehazi's head. He's saying, man, throw me a few bones. I've been working for nothing. It's day to day for me. I could use a new set of clothes. I could use a little bit of money in my pocket. I haven't profited. And he tried to put a spiritual spin on this. And when he walked out the door, what were the first words out of his mouth? Is the Lord liveth. God, where God guides, he provides. God's opening a door here. The guy's got money. He wants to give it away. Elisha, if you're not putting up your hand, I'll scratch my ear and hopefully he'll look my way and offer me something. Let me ask you this. Have you never been in a ministry? Have you never been in a place where you looked at what you're doing saying, there is no profit here? Let me ask you this. What if you run a ministry and no one gets saved? What if you do junior church, Jimmy, for a year and not one child gets saved? You mean to tell me you're never going to sit there and say, what am I doing this for? You know why? Numbers for us is affirmation. Response is affirmation. God opening a door is affirmation. What if God never opens another door? What if God never lets you in another soul? What if God never gives you a better position? What if your ministry only shrinks? Do you know there have been a lot of people, good men, walked into church and build it up from 350 to 75. That's a blessing to go to conferences and talk about that. So you've been there 5 years and what's happened? Oh, we've lost 300 people. You know, that doesn't make them any more spiritual, any less spiritual. You don't know what God has in store for you, but let me ask you this. What happens in life when God doesn't give you any affirmation? He strips you down of everything except for love for him. Be careful, because you point the finger at Gehazi and it's easy to talk about greed. I don't think this was greed. I think this is a young man in the ministry who's been faithful for a long time, and he gets to the point where he says, I could use a little bone thrown my way. And when Naaman talks money, Gehazi says, I could use a new change of clothes. Thank you very much. Be careful. If we don't find our affirmation in God and God alone, bitterness is guaranteed. It is absolutely guaranteed. Skip down to verse 21. So Gehazi followed after Naaman. I'm going to read quickly. When Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him. He said, it's all well. And he said, all is well. My master has sent me. Oh, what do we got? Lie number one. My master has sent me. Did Elisha send him? Then lie number two, saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, listen, I'm just coming on the behalf of a couple friends. And I be careful, because when you need affirmation, you fall into this trap of self-deception and you'll try to convince yourself that you're really doing this for God and others. But if you need affirmation, you're not. You're doing this for you. If you're doing this for God, you're not going to get bitter as long as you're pleasing God. Folks, I've gone months of my ministry where the church never grew. I've gone years of my ministry where the church went backwards in attendance. You know, for a pastor, that's not affirmation. Then you start lying to yourself, God, I'm doing this for you. Well, then why are you concerned about the attendance? Then why are you concerned about the pat on the back? Why are you concerned if someone notices or doesn't notice? Because God does notice. So he's saying, oh, I'm really doing this for someone else. Not. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver. What did you say at the end of verse 20? I'll run after him and take somewhat of him. Be careful. Be careful. Because this is what your motives are. If you're needing affirmation, demanding it, you're saying, I'm going to serve God, but take somewhat. Lie number one. The master sent me. Lie number two. I'm doing this for the sons of the prophets. Naaman said, be content, take 2 talents. And he urged him, bound the 2 talents of silver in 2 bags. He's acting all humble because Naaman actually has to urge him to take 2. No, honestly, I can help those boys share. You know, they can wear the garment one day. You know, I'm thinking Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday for one guy and Monday, Wednesday, Friday for the other. They can switch it out. Don't worry, one's good. No, take 2. Okay, that's good. 2's good. Verse 25, but he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said to him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went no with. Now, do you just see the boldness of the lying that's taking place? And Elisha said, isn't there time to receive money and garments and oliveyards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and manservants and maidservants? And there's a time for that. There's a place for that. But Gehazi, it's not right now. And when you establish that philosophy, that mentality, you're done. And as Christians, this is not a danger for those that have just gotten in. This is not a danger for those that have served or helped or taught for a year. I'm talking about this being a danger for those that have given and served and sacrificed and helped and preached and taught for years. This is a danger for you that have been in this for 5, 6, 8, 10, 15, 20 years. And the longer you go, the graver the danger. Because you know what? It's not like the earthly rewards begin to multiply. I've been in this for 23 years. And I'll tell you straight up, Capital City has taken great care of me and my family. You guys have been kind and gracious and loving and helpful in so many ways. Weekly, your kindness is overwhelming. But all of us know, if we were in the service of God for reward, earthly reward, God says this isn't about earthly reward. This is about the invisible. This is about the eternal. This is about the heavenly. So be very careful. Be careful. You don't find yourself in that spot Gehazi did, where he said, what is in this for me? Because I could use a little bit of affirmation here that I'm doing the right thing, that I'm loved, that I'm pleasing. And God says, your only concern, Gehazi, needs to be, you're pleasing me. You don't need anything more than heaven's applause. Give it. Be quick to give it. People, don't have this philosophy about others. Have this philosophy about yourself. Be quick to pat someone on the back. Be quick to thank them. Be quick to praise them and say, great job. Be quick to slip them a gift card. Be quick to hand them a note. Be quick to recognize Roxanne's service in the school, Miss Kira's dedication, Brother Andrew's help in teaching. Be quick to recognize Brother Ben and all the years that he's been around. Be quick, but don't be quick to need the same
The Capital City Baptist Church is located at 1300 Red Street in beautiful Austin, Texas. We'd invite you to join us if you're in town. 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, 6 p.m. Sunday night, and 7:30 each and every Wednesday evening. Our phone number is 512-447-9454, but I'd like to point your attention specifically to our website, capitalcitybaptist.org. There you'll find information regarding service times, the staff, and all about Capital City Baptist Church. Additionally, you can find an archive of previously preached messages there for you to download, enjoy, and pass on to friends and family. Again, that website is capitalcitybaptist.org. That's capital with an O, citybaptist.org. Be sure and tell a friend and do your best to join us again for Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of the Capital City Baptist Church.